this can't be easy. I mean, competing with various manufacturers is one thing. Competing with the Lord is a whole other kettle of fish. I'm Dave Cope of Triode & Company. I do marketing for AudioNote UK, and also doing some stuff with Brian Smith, who is Mr. AudioNote Jix. I thought I would try to set a little bit of historical perspective to get Brian started. There's pretty much been kit forms of AudioNote stuff as long as there's been AudioNote UK. Peter Fortrup has sold kits and parts to the DIY community for a really long time. There's just about always been a kit version of the E loudspeaker. There's been the kit 4, which is a 6V6 push-pull amplifier, the kit 1, which is a 300B stereo amplifier, the kit 2, which is 6550s. But there's always been just one version. There had always been just one version of each. And people would go crazy on the standard version of the kit. One thing that was always a limiting factor for AudioNote kits was the fact that the same one or two people who are doing all the thinking to develop the cartridges, the tonars, the turntables, the preamps, the amps, the cables, the cartridges, the loudspeakers for a finished product, we're also supporting the kits. And the same one or two guys would be answering the phones and answering the emails for all the factory product and all the kits. And as AudioNote's business grew, not surprisingly, push did come to shove, and something had to give, and what gave was the attention that the kit business got. Somewhere in the early 2000s, the amount of time that could be devoted to the kit side and the parts side of business started to fade. You may remember when the parts...
Hallelujah.
Can I get it in
here? You may remember there came a point when the parts disappeared.
Parts and the kits disappear at the same time?
Yeah, the parts, the selling of parts and the selling of kits direct through AudioNote UK disappeared at the same time, and it upset a fair number of people who were very used to having those parts available and having those kits available and being able to talk to somebody about it, and that really ruffled more than a few feathers. It wasn't that AudioNote wanted to quit doing that, just only so many brains and ears and mouths and hours in a day available to do everything. Then at some point in 2003, Brian and Peter started talking and about Brian taking over and doing the kits. And in 2004, the kits officially became Brian's baby. And if you remember what the old kit lineup looked like, and if you've seen what the new kit lineup looks like, where you've now got DAX, if you don't want to build the cabinet for fear of sawing off your thumb, which would be my big fear, you can buy flat. No, you don't need flat. You can buy finished cabinets, drivers with matched crossovers, and just put it all together and get the essential flavor in AudioNote E for a lot less money than the factory-built product. You can now get several different levels of the kit 1. Actually, there are now, the original preamp is gone. There are two new preamps with varying degrees of sophistication. Each of them, or either of the two DACs that now exist, you can get with several different levels of quality of parts and what you would expect, the increasing level of performance and somewhat increased price. But you've now got really an enormous range of choices in how your audio kits come. You can tailor it any way you want, pretty much at this point. You're not quite up to a 26-page price list, but you don't ever want to get there. Another area that Brian has improved enormously are the manuals. The really sophisticated, knowledgeable kit builders, if you throw them a schematic and a bag of parts, they'll figure it out, they'll get it together, and it'll work. But for people who've never built anything before, that's impossible. They're not going to get anywhere. For the moderately skilled builder, that's going to be intimidating, and maybe they won't get it right. Maybe they won't even try. Brian's manuals are a model of clarity. He's got pictures and schematics that you can make a small pup tent out of. I could certainly build one as possible. My 10-year-old can build one. That's about all I really wanted to say in terms of the building.
You asked Dave basically, he's had more history with Audionaut, so to basically give a little overview of the Audionaut finished products and what kits started out. When I started with Audionaut, I had inherited the Kit 1 product and their preamplifier, which was had a 6x5 power supply and a phone and a line station. So basically, those two products, along with a DAC 1.1, where it sort of all began. And I put the website up, audionautkits.com, and it was linked to the Audionaut UK. And I started the business thinking it would just be a part-time business, and I would go get a real job in the high-tech industry that I was involved in before. A flood of emails started coming in, a lot of requests. In the first year for DAC upgrades. Everybody wanted two power supplies for the DAC, and IV transformers and so on and so forth. So I kind of collected all this information while I tried to get the business somewhat viable, and I was selling kit ones, and we start to improve all the chassis and redraw them mechanically, and over the course of 1 to 2 years we start to release a new product, and also I was building a very good relationship with Peter at the time, and having my eye on a lot of the finished product circuits and parts, and I started to get permission to bring in the M2 power supply and some of the double C4 output transformers. So we're kind of, from sort of a bunch of kit products that we had evolved out of finished products, I've now moved into an area where I have a sort of a whole line of products that are actually finished products repackaged into form for kits. So it's been very successful. We're starting year number 5 at the end of this year, so we've had 4 years. We are basically based off a website, so it means you almost get factory direct pricing, so we don't have the middleman. We have a dealer in Hong Kong right now, and also one in Norway, but in general for the North America, you're basically buying directly through the website. We ship you the product, we send you DVDs of soldering skills, and we have really good manuals that are online. I've got some examples here I can pass around. With the advent of digital photography and home computing, we can make fantastic manuals. Whereas in the old days, the original manuals that I got from Audionaut were all text-based, and they were all hard copy. They were not even online, so we've come a long way. So the whole product line has really improved. I think also the thing that we offer is that when someone orders a kit from us, because it's kind of an elite level of kit, it's not a $500 kit, it's between $1,000 and $2,000 range, we try and offer a lot of support with it. So someone will order a kit from us, and they may be a very experienced builder, and in that case I may not hear from them at all, or maybe they speak Russian. But we get like an American customer who's never built a kit before, what I feel we've brought to the table is the ability to step that customer through all the steps of the build. Usually I get a lot of email interaction, phone calls, and sometimes I'll put in touch with other builders, maybe in his area who built, and maybe they'll send me photographs along the way of what their wiring looks like, and sometimes I'll help them with the turn-on process to make sure that everything goes well. So bottom line is up. We've probably sold could be in the 200 to 300 kits over the last couple of years. So just about every one of them has been a successful build. Most customers are very are blown away by the sound in the end, because it's kind of a leap of faith. It's not like they can go through a room and hear all these finished product kits. They have to really just take the plunge, order a box of parts, put it together, and see what happens. So, you know, 99% of the cases where you got very pleased with people. But also, basically, to get to the level that they're going to order one of these kits, they usually do, I find that people have to go through 1 to 2 years of their own research. They have to look at all the kit companies and finish product, learn about audio notes, learn about transformers and sound, and it's a long process. And so when they do finally get to me, I try and make it an enjoyable experience. So also tried to come up with some really good documentation. We have very large schematics. This is an example of the kit one schematic that goes with the kit. So, you know, the idea is that it's all sitting on one page. They can see how the power supply connects to the main driver circuitry, and I've got views of what it looks like when you're actually working in the chassis. Got voltage points all over it, so, you know, and that's a big clear schematic. And even if you can't read a schematic, with having something like this, like I can show, explain to your customer, well, you check your signal here, check your signal there. We set up audio sine wave CDs with the DAC so that it can put sine wave right through their kit and check it for voltage so they'll need a scope. So we're trying to constantly taking customer feedback, doing everything we can to make sure that a kit builder has a great time. And usually what happens is they build their first kit, and usually there's kind of a bit of a letdown because they've had so much fun building the kit that a few months later they have to start thinking about their next project. And we have people start going through the whole product line. That's kind of where we're at today. The other thing that I've done recently has been really exciting is we've gone to the Kit 1 has sort of been our standard product. How many of you are familiar with the original Kit 1 audio notes kit? Have you heard of it? And so that when I took over the kit business, I remember talking to the French distributor in Europe, and he said that he sold 500 Kit 1s between like 96 and 2000. It was all like word of mouth, and it wasn't through a website, it was all out of the shop. People would hear it, or they'd hear a friend's kit, so they obviously had a real winter product there. And I've constantly been asked for power amps and auto blocks and so on and so forth. So we've recently just completed the engineering on the new model block kits that have been designed by Audio Note UK, Andy Grove. And he insisted on putting an interstage transformer into the design. I asked them why, and it's basically, it cuts down on the tube stage, and there's a lot of other reasons. I'm going to get some good documentation on the website, but when I first heard the sound of it, it was like a huge leap up from where the Kit 1 was. So we have the prototypes up in the Audio Kits room, so you can come take a look at it. And the product is very configurable, such that you can build it as a 2A3 monoblock or a 300B. It's like about 10 minutes of soldering to change over, and there's a couple of resistors that you have to change. We've also got it so you can go start in at an entry-level price, get the monoblocks for like about $2,600, and then go all the way up to $5,000-$6,000 pair of monoblocks. It's also configurable for parallel triode. So, everybody hear me okay? It's hard?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, the new monoblocks are exciting. We're coming out also with the M3 photo stage shortly. Obviously, Audio Note's M3 preamplifier has been extremely successful. Very high quality product. They ranges from an M3 to an M6. It's basically the same circuit, but they upgrade all the parts and they transformers as they go up to the higher levels. I was looking at making a kit out of the M3, but it's basically quite a large chassis. It's jam packed in there. And I was a little worried about you need to be a kind of an expert builder, and you have to keep transformers away from power supplies, and it was very jammed. So I came up with a strategy of doing an M3 line kit in a large chassis, not quite as large as the M3. There's lots of space now, and then also an M3 phono. So they're two separate boxes. They both get their own power supplies, and the M3 phono plugs into the M3 line. So it's more of a modular approach. So that's... that's been exciting. The new DAC has been an exploding product from last year. We had a DAC 1.1 for, I guess, since the late 90s. The DAC 1.1 sold hundreds and hundreds of kits were sold. And I'd say for the first 3 years of this kit business, I was just pounded with people wanting to buy upgrade packages to their 1.1. And I kind of didn't do anything for 3 years because I was focused on a lot of other areas, the amplifiers, But then about the 3 or 4 year mark, I put basically a whole kitchen sink into this new DAC 2.1. It had IVs designed and M2 power supply and large chassis, and put the USB in, and So for about a year straight, we've been selling those quite regularly, and we've been getting great responses on it. We have a couple of different levels of it. But basically, all the products that we're doing in the kits are all Audiono UK designs, so we're using Andy Grove, who designs all the Audiono finished products, to basically design the kits. And I think we've got a real big advantage in that we're a kit company, but really we're just leveraging off this really high-quality finished product company. And if something fails on their side, I may not go down that route, but I look at what's really successful, what people are responding to, and I try to incorporate those in.
I have a question about how you talked about the jack and the jack on it. Downloads these on the hard drive, like a notebook, or use them storage, like so you want to start off the batteries and
Yeah, so the DAC would basically, with the USB input, so out of a computer, a Windows or Apple-based computer, it would see the DAC as actually a device, and then it automatically starts sending the digital information through the USB and into we have a little USB converter board, USB SPDIF, it's a little kit that comes with the DAC kit, and then from there we go into our digital board where we have our receiver chip and our AD, sorry, I'm not talking over here at all. We have our analog. So the USB basically comes through channel one of the DAC board, and then we have like an RCA input on channel two. We also have an XLR input. So the idea is that you've got three potential sources, and you wire up two of those, and you can always interchange where you go. So, and I haven't really experimented with USBs, but I got some great responses from various customers who've used this particular USB from HAG technology. And it's a nice little kit. We tested it out. I love the sound of it, and that's basically an optional product. What we do, we make it easy for you because they sell it as a parts list from DigiKey. And what I do is I buy all the parts, and when you order a DAC, you want the USB, I basically package it up for you, and away you go. So the DAC's been popular in the digital realm, and I'm looking at potentially maybe going to a balanced DAC down the road where a lot of output transformers. And I'm also trying to encourage upgrade paths for all the kits. So if you bought a DAC 2.1 today and you wanted to go to the balanced version, you could upgrade. Or if you had a DAC 1.1 and you want to go to 2.1, I've got a plan for the kit one upgrade to the monoblocks, especially people with the big double C core transformers. That's where we're at today. I'm full time on the business. It's got a little out of control, but.
Can you solve that
next
job?
Yeah. I can't. My wife keeps asking when I'm going to go get a real job. But. So here's the. You can come take a look at this, or I'll bring you around. Here's the DAC. We've got 2.1. It's kind of a. This, I would consider this a wiry job. It's not sort of an all tie wrap. The old version DAC 1.1 was basically a digital board and a solid-state power supply and a single 1287. Okay, so what we did was the first thing we did was basically design an output board, a 6922 analog output board, because this is what Audiono was using in all their high-end finished product DACs, 6922 base. 1287 sounds good, it's got its own particular sound, and this also has a much lower output impedance. So whereas the DAC 1.1 needed to be matched to certain types of amplifiers, this was much more flexible. And then the IV transformers, I basically went to Andy Grove and designed all the transformers for Audiono, and I told him I don't want 400-pound transformers that cost a couple $1,000s. So I said, can you give me the same design, but let's use copper wire, let's make it affordable, so I can put it in a kit and get the same level of, make it affordable for kid people, so they can pay between $1,000 and $2,000 to get the full package. So that was designed. And then we took the M2 power supply, which I got permission from Audiono to use for their finished product line, and that's been incorporated in. So it's using both the 6X5 rectifier and then a regulator too. So it's like a current regulator sitting there on the PC. I noticed that when we went to this power supply, it's funny, it's a long, it's quite interesting how this probably gets developed, but when this power supply got hooked into that first time, prototype mode, it was like all of a sudden sound became very three-dimensional. And it was the first step that I realized that this could be a real winning combination. In fact, it was actually a customer in Norway who insisted on buying a DAC 1.1, and he wanted the N2 power supply, because he bought the M3 kit from us. Insisted on it. I was very busy at the time. He just sent me the money for it. So I was forced to basically package something up for him, and I sent it off, thinking, that's a crazy kick-ass. I thought, that's just overkill. That's crazy. And then I told a friend of mine about it locally, and he did the same thing. He then stuck it in there, and I did it, and I heard the level of sound quality. I'd never really been a big digital fan. I started to get this one very much into the analog amplifiers, but this kind of took it up to a new level. So now I'm sort of in a situation where it's very enjoyable to go back and forth vinyl, the CD, and you kind of enjoy both worlds.
You don't get into the power supply in the factory room decks until the third of the level 2 decks, the 2.1x signature. So 1.1x and 1.1x signature.
Modified the power supply specifically for whether it's running the DAC output board or the M3 line board. So we've taken the same design and we've made some changes so that it's configurable for various filament voltages and so on. But yes, true. A lot of people ask me, is the 2.1 equivalent to the 2.1 finished product? And what I unfortunately did was we had a 1.1 for quite a while, and I really just incremented the number to the 2.1. Which is probably a mistake. I should have come up with some new name for it, but it's really the whole kitchen sink going into this DAC. So as Dave said, you probably have to get up to like a 3.1 or your signature version to fill in a DAC.
That's pretty fancy stuff.
Yeah, so. And of course, I came up with three or four levels of it. I started with a 1299 version without the IV transformers, and then a level B version where you get IV transformers, and then a signature version where you get some upgrades. And of course, I start getting customers wanting every upgrade possible. So that turned into savings. I think it goes all the way to about $2,000. So,
is there an upgrade?
Yeah, what's the 6DJ8? That's the equivalent to. Is okay. Yeah, I know that some customers have played around with that, but I've not done myself. I don't usually upgrade it. Yes, I don't usually even deal with tuned upgrades. It's usually just parts, because my goal is to give you a kit that has a new tubes, or so in some cases the 6X5 you can't get new, so I have a NOS for that. But reasonably priced tubes. Because once you buy a kit, you have this platform to be buying tubes, swapping them, and experiment with expensive parts. Oh, the 6922 or the... Thank you. I think Andy Grove used it for due to the fact that in the SRPP mode that it could be designed into, it gave a very low impedance. And we've had customers sort of ask us about, well, we prefer this, and said, well, yeah, we can do that, but it's going to be a trade-off in this area and that area. So, you know, this is kind of our 6922 is what Audio is using in their high-end DAC. So I thought this was a good first step. And I'm kind of, what we're doing actually in the M3 photo circuit is quite interesting is we're going to try and offer some various different types of tubes that you could use with the circuit. So we're going to give you the M3 circuit, and if you want to use a particular, a different set of input tubes, and he's got sort of a list of options, we'll change the resistors and so on. So the cool thing about that is with the phono stage, it's very interesting to tweak and try different tubes for different colorations of the sound and so on. So I'd love to be able to say to someone, yeah, you've got these types of output tubes you can use, and here's the resistor set that you need to use with that to bias a corrector. So as opposed to just getting a phono stage and now you're stuck with that sound, it's going to be good, but whether it's fun to all play around with it. So yeah, we're always making those types of choices. There's always trade-offs.
Tell us about your turntables.
The turntables, audio turntables.
Yeah, you got a kit?
I've asked about that, but we don't have, they said that basically a special rig is required to make the turntables, and I think there are companies out there that do turntable kits, but we've never gone that far.
Okay.
Is that right? What do you know about the turntable business at Audionode? It's obviously a very good turntable, and sorry, it's a finished product.
The turntable one and the turntable two, all that we've done on the box. Thank you. inside the floor, it's not only kid, but it's sweat. So pretty much the residents and residents eventually go along with great music with my music player. And they keep their hands in the air, so the whole damn room is probably sweating. I thought that was weird, designing a room to basically dance. It's not an earthquake, so why would you do that? Then I'm telling you, somebody dance. Circuit board of the kit comes in a separate bag with its own parts list. You've got the board, all the parts that are going into that board, and a parts list. So when the manual says, okay, now you're going to the analog power supply board, well, you just pick up that bag. You don't pick up this hefty garbage bag with 5,000 parts in it. You've got a bag this big with only the parts that go into that board. So you can really spend a lot less time sorting through enormous volumes of parts, and you're much more focused on the particular thing you're doing at the time.
Yeah, I found that the more and more we can get the kids tweaked out, the less questions we get. These are kind of the newer manuals. So I originally started with the Kit 1 and had to redo it from scratch. And, they're even getting better and better. The new monoblock ones, we're even going to do a video with it. But, definitely. This is which one is that? The DAC 2.1? We're in a situation where, as the kit sells, we get a lot of response on email and pictures from customers, and if there's any mistakes in the manual, it goes right in. My web developer heavily involved in my manual development, so everything gets fed right in there and put right into the manual. I kind of do the first run of the manual, and then he makes it very pretty and graphical, and then we just keep rotating. But they're like about 30 meg in size. Microsoft Word. I would say not necessarily all the time. Maybe 30% of my customers have speakers, maybe less. Sometimes, I think what I've tried to do is to have a complete offering so someone can come to me and whether they need moving coil step ups or monoblocks or whatever. We've got something that we can sell to them. Because people, it's a kind of interesting position that they have their own systems, and maybe there's a little gap in one area that they want to try something new. So it's a good question, but everyone seems to have a different setup. But I'm surprised at actually the number of people who will buy kits from me and then come back later and buy the speaker kits. And they have to usually get some leap of faith because they possibly have not heard them before, and they, it's a lot of money, and it's like, that's why I'm there to support them. They make that jump.
That's a good part of why I could ask the brand for a year ago. If I'm doing the show, these are the people who want to hear and see and learn more about what you're offering. And you don't have that many opportunities to see and hear it. Lay hands on them and find out. Brian does a spectacular job of providing information on the color and on the brand and the support that the information
Yeah, we've got also an Audio Kits forum, so I don't want customers communicating and talking to each other and putting in questions. Usually for the first line of support, like when they're building the kit, if they're having problems, or they'll talk to me, but let's say 6 months later they want to try something new too, so they may put a question out there. And if you've been to my website at all, audiokits.com, so it started one page back 4 years ago, and it was just two or three products listed on it, and it's now grown to a pretty large monster. I did it for about the first 2 years, 2.5 years now. I've got a really good web designer who's doing all the work. All aspects of the business have really grown. And I think one of the things we're doing is constant. I think what I've seen in the past with with kit companies is possibly a kit is put up for sale. A lot of parts are brought, are bought, and they sell 50 kits. I mean, that's sort of the end of the kit. They don't really go on with that. So my approach has been to basically sell the kit and continue improving the parts list, how we organize parts. Hardware is another big thing. We have all the hardware, all the screws, nuts and bolts, all in the individual bags for each section of the kit. So there's like about 17 little hardware bags that goes into one master bag, which then goes into all the kit bags. So yeah, we usually never really get any questions about hardware. So it's a fun experience. It's very therapeutic building kits. It's kind of if you've never built a kit before, those are the people that I'd be very interested in trying to get them to try it for the first time. Because once they build that first one, they get hooked on it. It's a lot of fun. You can keep tweaking and sort of take control of your own audio sound. All right, any questions at all?
What about the audio market?
You know, I've talked to audio about that. They prefer that those are bought through dealers. But in a lot of cases, people are coming to me wanting two or three kits, and they want some speaker cables and some interconnects. And up till now, I haven't really been able to support them, but I'm looking to do something this year, possibly where they get to sell raw cable pieces and like, big cables yourself. I'd love to come to you and get a sort of cable tape, so I won't sell you a finished product cable, so that way I don't have to upset dealers or sell them really regularly. One last thing I'll mention is all the wire that we use in the kits. When I first started, it was kind of overwhelming, all the different types of wire used in the audio products. I got a lot of study into it. Now, we're using the same source for all the silver plated copper wire that goes into the audio finished products. So we have very high quality wire, sells for digital for like about $1 a foot. So you can get several meters of this stuff. Filaments. You kind of get this really nice bag of all the different types of wires, the mains, transformer wires, the film wiring. It's top notch. It's sort of the last area that I want to really nail down. So I think we have the hardware, the wiring, the manuals, all of them are really good. So
what are you
going to
focus on
Japan?
Do you
need
that?
In Japan, we don't. I don't know if it's a completely. Sometimes I'll take if let's say someone from Australia is ordering a kit, it's not really a problem in the US, but someone in Australia, I'll take some of the margin off the kit to get them the kit for a reasonable price without having to pay $300 in shipping. So maybe charge them $150 or something. But in the US it's quite cheap. We can ship the kit one, which is a 50 pound box for like about $125, and it goes UPS air, so it's usually there in like 2 days, 2 or 3 days, and you know, I don't want to send it ground or anything, I want to get one to get there very quickly. I've never had a problem with me breaking or anything. And the fact that it's coming in a kit form, all the parts can sort of jiggle a little bit. When you go to ship a finished product, parts want to start escaping from one another. So, we've had a very successful, when I started the business, I'm like, I'm going to be shipping glass and metal all over the world, and it's not going to work. So, that's been very good.
The turntable,
When people ask you about room treatment, what kind of room treatment do you like?
what makes their room sound really good and move perfectly straight place these days.
Well, I can find that if you tightly pack out using room blocks about this wide, about this tall, and you line the walls of your listening room floor to ceiling all the way around except for a window and a door, that works really well on damping over adjusting walls and then people go in like, wow, what are you talking about? This is love, right? That's just me personally, that's how I treat them. You may want to do something else. Pulling their leg or just making fun of the dog. That's what his listening room looks like. So he's swimming all the way around the room, just making all those other things. That's part of the equation. Go into their shop and kind of in hold. That's more of the same thing. So he's swimming all the way around the listening room. And there are more elsewhere. And the thing is, he doesn't just collect them and go, ha ha ha, it's a really rare record. If you spend an evening listening to music with him, he'll be getting up and running around the room, and he'll say, oh, you really have to hear this piece of music recorded by this violinist with this orchestra in this gear, because that was really the peak. And he runs over and pulls it off the shelf. And he's like, okay, you know, he knows what I want. And he goes to this piece of music for the first evening, and the place looks like, you know, and he'll be snow stuff by the time you're around. Covers and slips and sleeves and LPs everywhere. It's like, it's really fun to watch somebody who is very, very knowledgeable about jazz or classical music come into the room. They're expecting another hardware manufacturer, but you go on your file constantly and then you go. And he's pulling out first pressings of rare LPs. And I've seen him with the show in Milan. Turned down offers of just thousands and thousands of dollars for an LP that he's brought to the show because you know, that's how seriously he takes the production of music. I'm amazed that he would even walk out a USB port to be put in his head. No, he has resisted that tooth and nail on the factory side. I've been pregnancy for several years now,
but it's optional.
Yeah, no, that's how you got around it. The hot cola, I love it. Yeah, oh man. Well, people will come into the room and say, I love your digital stuff, I love your DACs, it's great, it's fabulous, or I have your transport, and they said, you want some of my chopped liver, this is so great. And he says, again, a very straight face. The animation is good for you, but it only comes with a straight face. It's really great. It comes with a little danger. Well, you know why I put all this effort in developing digital products, don't you? No, I don't know why. Well, in order to make money off of them so I can have money to put into making a better turntable. What? And again, I think, yeah, sure. That's why I said, yeah, that's what he's doing. He doesn't run any part of this business from a business perspective. All entirely about making it possible for people to hear music as much of the music that's in that recording as possible. It disturbs him no end that has audio reproducing hardware that can dumb down further and further. That becomes harder and harder to appreciate really fine music. He's afraid that that's a part of worldwide culture.
Questions, also feel free to come to the room. You're not, ma'am?
If you haven't done the...
Your name is not...
We have a lot of them being together, but there are houses on the floor. The two rooms in 710, there's also a factory built on the site 24, so if you can pass the both side of the plate in one stop in Dallas.
Well, thank you very much for paying attention.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're here all tonight, tomorrow, and that's like...
Thank you, guys.